Been hungry for some college football? Well, we finally get a taste this weekend. Don't miss any of the action. Jump in at DraftKings Sportsbook. It's a small but mighty slate of games for week zero, including a big matchup in Ireland. This is going to be DraftKings' biggest college football season to date. Plus, all newbies getting into the college spirit, here's something extra special. New DraftKings customers bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Score big with DraftKings all college football season long. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code IHEART. That's promo code IHEART for new customers to get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call the Virginia Problem Gambling Helpline at 888-532-3500. 21 and over. Virginia only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms at dkng.co/ftball.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Business After Hours, where the ties loosen, the suit relax, and we talk business without the boardroom. Grab your favorite drink, kick back, and let's dive into the world of business after hours.
Well, welcome back to another episode of the Business After Hours podcast. We're joined with Jared and Stacy. How are you guys doing today?
Wonderful.
Doing well, thank you.
Good. Good. It's Wednesday, so it's hump day. Everybody's week going good so far?
Yes, so far.
We're surviving?
Yeah, we're surviving. So
far. Seems to be continuous survival mode here anymore these days. So, Stacy, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm a speaker, an author, I coach, and I'm a podcaster. And I've turned podcasting into like almost a full-time business now. So I'm focusing a lot on my podcasting business.
Congrats. Congrats on
Thank
that.
Thank you.
And what's your business besides the podcast?
So I have a little story that goes with it. I don't know if you want me to share it.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Please do.
Yeah. So, you know, when I was five, I had like an ear infection and a virus, and mom took me to the doctor and they gave me some meds. And then one night she heard a gurgling sound from, you know, the other room. She came in, I was turning blue and I was in a grand mal seizure. They had rushed me to the hospital and they found that the virus had turned into encephalitis and it had traveled to my brain. I was induced in a coma. And during that time, the doctors told my parents, most likely if she comes out, she'll probably be paraplegic or she'll probably have severe brain damage. So my father, who's from a Greek island, and you know, he was one church, one doctor, one everything. And there was a statue and it was known to have teardrops fall from its eyes. And he was praying that it would be okay. And he told me that when he looked up, a teardrop rolled from my eye. And I woke up and I opened my eyes and I asked for McDonald's French fries. And so I wasn't paraplegic and I didn't have brain damage, but I did end up with epilepsy. To this day, they can't find the scar tissue, but it was a roller coaster ride growing up. College was really difficult because the late night studying, the stress of getting good grades caused my seizures to go through the roof. You know, it was really a real battle, you know. So
the important question, though, is did you get the fries?
I did get the fries. Yes.
It's important. Definitely important.
I was dying to know. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. That got me the whole Happy Meal that day.
Yeah. Awesome.
So, yeah. So, you know, I really struggled. And so one day I didn't know if I was going to even be able to finish college. So I decided to write a letter. They had a magazine back then from sponsored by the Epilepsy Foundation. And I asked them to publish my article and I asked people, how do you cope with epilepsy? And to my surprise, I received like 300 to 400 letters from all over the United States and Canada. And they were very inspiring. People shared their stories, their advice. And I took a lot of that stuff and it inspired me. And I created my own regimen and I had to get through, you know, college. And I got through college. I graduated. I ended up getting a huge corporate job in the city, and I was kind of living the dream life. And then one day, you know, I felt a seizure coming on. I fell to the ground. You know, I was looking around to see if there was somewhere I could hide, because I would always get a feeling before I had a seizure. So I always knew I was going to have one, but there was nowhere to go that no one would see me. So I fell to the ground. I was conscious, but I couldn't move. And one of the executives just stepped over me and kept walking, and I couldn't believe it. And shortly after, you know, the co-producer came over and said, you know, Stace, you're doing a fantabulous job, but, you know, we're going to have to let you go. You know, I'm sorry. And I just walked out of there with my head up high. And I said, one day I am going to be a success. I didn't know where I was headed. I didn't know where I was going, but I was going to make sure whatever I did in life, I was going to be good at it. And I was going to be able to be proud of myself. And so I ended up, you know, starting my own freelance business. I started meeting a lot of people. A lot of the people that are billionaires today were just starting out back then. And I was doing their presentations, their speech writing and all that other stuff. And then one day I met an herbalist, and he said, you know, I need a lot of research and writing done. And, you know, so I started doing all this research and writing and holistic living, and I learned a lot of stuff. I said, wow, a lot of this stuff could apply to me. And I started applying it to my life. And my seizures went from like 12 to 9 to 8, 7, 6, 5 to the point where they became controlled. And I started writing about it. I don't know if you remember Blogger back in the day on Google. Yeah. They gave us that free little blog. So I started writing and creating my own little blog. And like 400 people came right away. I was like, wow, people are interested in this stuff. And so then I decided to, you know, create my own little website. And then I met a website designer, and he needed content for his websites that he designed. And then he saw my little blog, and he's like, I can make you a nice website. And then that little website turned into 10,000, then 100,000. And then the site just kept growing. And I took that, all those stories that I told you about, and I created a book, and I created that regiment that I told you about. And I put all those letters of inspiration in the book. And that book became a bestseller, because there was no books at that time to teach people how to live with epilepsy. So the coping part, you know, people want to, when they have something, they want to learn how to cope with it mentally, you know, physically, they need to know how to cope. And that's what we lack in society. We diagnose, but we don't teach people how to cope. So, and then I spent about 5 or 6 years, and I wrote The Complete Herbal Guide. That became a bestseller. That was about all the holistic stuff that I learned. And, you know, back then, holistic living was just kind of making its way into society, you know. And, you know, I got a letter one day in my email box, and someone said, I found your book in Barnes & Noble's. I was on the verge of suicide, and I read your book. I followed your regimen, and I just want to say thank you, because you saved my life. And that's when the light bulb went off. That's when I realized where I was heading, my passion. And, you know, I went on a crusade to help people learn how to improve their lives. And then it just led me to writing books, working with celebrities, you know, doing lots of writing. And then I created the podcast on self-improvement, and that connects with everything. So, you know, mental health, physical health, spiritual health, and business. Because when you can't focus and your mental health isn't good, it affects your business. You know, it's all connected in one big circle. So that's what my podcasting is been, and it blew up. And within the first 3 months, you know, after working so many years with so many different PR agents and other people, in 3 months we booked for a year, and now it's just, we have like 1.3 million listeners. It's like growing like crazy. And now I'm helping people create and build their own website, their own podcast. I help them to create it, to produce it, to promote it for them. And that's where I'm at now. You know, I didn't really think I was going to be in this podcasting business. Like, you know, I wasn't even going to do it. A friend of mine who interviews rock and rollers, he kept bugging me, Stace, you got to really, you know, do it, you know, because like I had already been on the Dr. Oz show 5 or 6 times. I worked with Ariana Huffington. And I was like, podcasting? I don't know. It's a lot of work, you know, and he kept nagging the hell out of me. So I finally did it. And because of him, I am where I am today.
That's awesome. Congrats, first of all. That's an awesome achievement.
Now, how many seizures are you having now?
Awesome. Zero.
That's great. That's great.
And congrats on that as well. Yeah. Is that due to the herbs?
I do a lot of holistic living. So I do integrative medicine. So that's using the medications. I work with my doctors and I take medicine, but yet You can't just pop a pill. This is what so many people think. You can pop a pill and the problem's going to go away. But right. you really have to create a lifestyle that is going to help you with your condition or what you're going through. So, you know, I changed my whole lifestyle. I changed the way I thought. I changed the way I handle stress. I changed my sleeping habits. I changed everything. You know, it was, you know, the way I ate. You know, I changed every little thing about my lifestyle. So when I changed my entire lifestyle and I was taking my meds and doing everything I would, you know, I knew would help me, that's when my seizures became controlled.
So now a lot of people, obviously, when they hear holistic, they don't think of modern medicine, obviously, today. But it sounds like, and maybe I'm not understanding correctly, but it sounds like you also take modern, I guess, medicine from doctors and whatnot.
Yeah, definitely. Integrative medicine is when you, you know, if you have a problem and you start using natural remedies and the problem isn't going away or it's getting worse, you need to go for medical help. You need to see a doctor. You know, you can't there. You know, I've known people that have tried to, you know, fix breast cancer on their own holistically, and they're not here, sadly, anymore. There is a time when you have to realize that I can't do it by myself. I need help. And that's what, you know, modern medical, you know, medicine is here for, you know. So you have to find that right doctor, that doctor you could talk to, that doctor you could be honest with. Communication is key. That doctor that knows his stuff, because there are a lot of doctors that aren't the greatest out there. But when you find that right doctor that knows his stuff, even if he's a little cocky, if he knows his stuff or she knows her stuff, and you could communicate well with them and have a good relationship with them, then that is the number one thing you should do. And by working with my doctor, and he saw how I was changing by incorporating holistic living into my life, he's like, go for it, Stacy, do it. And he even wrote a book about it himself because he was for it. You know, there's nothing wrong with using holistic living, you know, taking holistic living and natural remedies and incorporating if it's going to help you, because you have to be careful, because some medications can, you know, decrease the potency of medications. And so if you have something like heart problems or epilepsy or, depression and things like that, you got to talk to your doctor, because some of those supplements can really interact, you know, negatively, you know. So it's a thing of communication and being open.
Right. Did you help your doctor write your book, his book?
What?
Did you help your doctor write the book?
No, my doctor actually helped me get some of my books published.
Look at that. Okay.
I was one of the first people that wasn't a doctor to get published in a traditional publishing company that was only for medical doctors. And he had written a letter, and he had endorsed me, and they published my book. And I wrote it with, I had a other doctor co-author it and go through it and make sure everything was correct. And I got my book for epilepsy and pregnancy written in a medical publishing company. Wow. Yeah.
That's awesome. Congrats on that.
So what are some of the other holistic things that you're incorporating in your daily life?
So, you know, I like to detox. I like to cleanse my body. I do, use different, you know, we don't realize, but as we get older, we become deficient in a lot of things. You know, I say blood work is great. I like a functional medicine doctor, and they do blood work on everything. So they know exactly what you're deficient in, exactly what you need. And you could work with a functional medicine doctor and get the right, you know, find out what the right vitamins and what the right supplements that you need in your body and how much you should actually be taking. Because some people try to be their own doctor. And unless you're getting extensive blood work and you're understanding where your body's at, because, you know, the older we get, the more our body changes, you know, you really need to look at it from a more responsible and scientific way, you know, too. And I changed the way I ate. You know, I started looking at ingredients. You know, there's so many things out there. I can go on about the food industry forever. You know, we have, you know, diabetes has tripled. Things have changed in our society so bad. You know, the way the food they put out there, everything is processed nowadays. You know, we really have to look at trying to spend some time just to eat a little healthier. You know, there are things that you should buy organic, and there are things you can get away with that you don't need to buy organic. But when you look at what's in, you know, you're buying something off the shelf and you're looking at the ingredients, look what they put in there, you know, and read the the outside of it carefully. Like when it says no added hormones, well, that means it has hormones in it. They just didn't add any extra ones to it, you know. But it, when you read it real quick, it sounds like there's no hormones in it, you know. Like you have like 8-year-old little girls, you know, going through their menstruation cycle because of the hormones in the milk and the eggs and you know they put you know in the the hormones they put in the chicken. Because if you read the book, there's a book, Vegetarian or Vegan, it's called, and she shows you what they do in these farms to the chickens and the cows. And there's like 100 cows in this one clustered small area. They're so smushed together that the hoofs are deformed because they're, and then one gets sick and they have to put antibiotics in all those cows, let's say. And then, you know, so we're getting those antibiotics, you know, we're getting, and they're shooting them up with hormones so they can produce more milk. Well, you know, who's getting those hormones? We're getting those hormones. You give those hormones to, you know, kids, and you give those hormones to adults, our whole body functions with hormones. So you're throwing off the chemistry of people's bodies. You know, all these, you know, foods, they have dyes in them, a lot of them, most of them, you know, and, you know, cheese is supposed to be white, you know, yellow American cheese is supposed to be white. They put that color in to make it look pretty, you know, punch, they put red. Well, those dyes cause cancer, you know, and after drinking it for so many years, you know, you're putting it out there, you know, and the possibilities get higher. So, you know, we got to really, and if you buy vitamins and you're looking on the other side, if you can't pronounce the word, then it's not a good vitamin. You know, when it has on the bottom, all the other stuff it has, you know, if you're not able to pronounce the word, then I say put that vitamin or supplement back on the shelf.
Great. Yeah. Isn't it hard to, cause I don't know if you're vegan or vegetarian, but it just seems like.
I eat meat. I eat fish and chicken and stuff like that, but I'm just using that as an example to show you what, you know, they do to, you know, that's, you know, she wrote the book, you know, cause I can't remember, it was a while ago, vegan or vegetarian. She was, you know, given the examples of both, but she talked about it, you know, and when you saw what they did to the animals, you were like, you wanted to become a vegan or a vegetarian after you read that book.
Right. Well, it's crazy because, I mean, even when you go on the vegetarian side or the vegan side of things, it's still hard to eat decent there too, because of all the crap they put on our veggies. I mean, so you can't go either direction anymore these days, and you're just stuck. And it sucks, because my own personal belief is that a lot of the mental illnesses here in America are because of our foods.
Oh, 100%. You know, they talked about like ADHD and a lot of different, you know, things that people have that could be related to food related, you know, all those chemicals that they're putting in there definitely trigger, you know, the brain. And there are some foods that some food industries will put certain chemicals because they want you to get addicted to it. So they will put certain ingredients in the food because they want you to keep buying it, and they want you to have more of it. So you get these cravings. Those cravings are from certain ingredients that they put in the food.
That's why McDonald's puts sugar in their salt.
They put everything in their food.
So tell us about, obviously you've gone through successfully, I want to say, so far at least, of your medical issues. So congrats on that. I mean, that's got to be a huge feat in of itself. And then obviously starting businesses without of that and podcasts and whatnot. What's your journey been like, you know, battling your health and starting businesses?
Yeah, you know, it wasn't easy, you know, like when I do public speaking. So when I was doing nationwide speaking, you know, I had some issues I was dealing with, and, you know, it's hard, you know, sometimes, you know, life isn't perfect. We all go through our ups and downs. And, you know, when things arise, you know, it's very challenging. And that's where you have to, you know, take a step back. That's where I wrote Empower Yourself, Don't Let Your Conditions Empower You. And I meant that for everything, including stress, because, you know, a lot of times people, when obstacles arise, people just get so depressed that they just stop, you know, and that's where the depression comes in. They get angry. They get frustrated. Why me? Why is things always happening to me? And, you know, and then, you know, if you're constantly having these things happen to you, or you have a condition, or you're battling with stuff all the time, you get to the point where you start to feel depressed. And it's like, why am I even here? You know, and that's a common thing for people. And that's scary, because depression can lead to suicide. You know, people who even suffer from pain, they have a very high community of suicide rate. Because think about it, when you wake up in the morning and you're feeling pain every single morning, and you're having a hard time getting out of bed or going up and down the stairs, you're like, what's my purpose, man? You know, and you have to just stop and think. And you know what? I put the mentality and the mindset in my brain that everything happens for a reason. You know, if I was working in the city and I had that big corporate job and I was going in the direction I was going in, I would probably have a different personality. I would be, you know, more into the, all right, let's buy a Louis Vuitton bag. All right, let's have a martini on a Friday night. You know, I would look at people differently. You know what I mean? You know, people in that business were very like backstabbing and be very egocentric, you know? And instead I went down this road. And when I look at people and by doing so much advocating and helping others, I have a different look when I talk to people. I have empathy. I have, you know, I have a feeling of wanting to give kindness, gratitude, all these things that are inside of me. You know, I shine through, and I try. And positivity is key, man. It's key for survival. And I don't think I would be down that road, you know, the road I'm on today, if all these things didn't happen to me. And it gets rough, you know, like life isn't easy. Things come back, and, you know, symptoms come back, problems come back, you know, pain. You get pain as you get older, you know, everything hurts when you get older, you know, and, you know, you have to deal with it, you know, and it's like, you know, it's hard, you know, but you gotta try to look at the positive. I take everything that's negative and I try to pull something positive out of it. And, you know, I feel like everything I've gone through in life has made me a stronger and better person. But there are times when I just look up in the sky and say, all right, God, you have told me I'm good wherever I'm going next. No worries. I will be the best camp manager. I'll be the best lieutenant you ever had. You know, it's like, all right, stop. I'm good. You know,
right.
I got it.
No, you know? I definitely agree. You know, yeah. So I was in the military. I suffered injuries, you know, and then PTSD. So I've definitely tried to look at everything positive and more on a positive light, because I was seeing myself kind of go into that negative, you know, light sometimes. And I didn't like that where I was headed myself. And so I can definitely relate on that and agree with you on that, that when you start seeing everything in a negative, you know, just you start going down like a sinkhole. And I don't understand how you can live like that. You know what I mean? And it's a miserable place to be.
Yeah. I wrote for a veterans magazine, and I was stunned, because I got to commend you for everything you do, you know, and everything you did, you know, for our country. I really commend you. I would interview people who came back from their tours, and some of them, you know, lost their legs. They lost, you know, they had prosthetics, and they all suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder. They're like, when you're on the front line and you're in a tank and you see dead bodies on the floor and they're driving straight across, you know, that's something that stays with you the rest of your life.
Absolutely. And, yeah.
I, you know, almost every single person that comes back has some form of post-traumatic stress disorder. But, you know, how much is the country doing for these people? Because, you know, these people, and a lot too, is the transition. You go back from military to regular life. It's two different worlds. People don't realize that. You're trained to be a military officer, and then you come back and you have all these skills, but the transition is very difficult.
Yeah, the transition was hard. Absolutely. You know, I struggled for what, a year, Jeff, right? I mean, you know, it was a real, real hard transition out of the military, you know, and until I started trying to do something on my own is when I kind of really started turning myself around. But absolutely.
Yeah, I really feel that they need to put out more help for our military officers. They really need to really realize what they do than the after effects, you know, what they go through, and have more services for these people. And the people who can't work, that are on disability, and they no longer are able to do the things they did, they have to be able to give them more than what they're giving them, you know. And that's just my opinion. But from what I've seen, from all the people I've known in the military that have come back, you know, I really feel like we you know, there's a great amount of respect for our military officers, but there's a great amount of respect. Let's do something for them. What can we do to make their lives better?
Absolutely.
So I do want to plug in your podcast as well. So tell us about your podcast.
So my podcast is based on self-improvement. So basically, like I told you, it you know, we started out with, you know, thinking, okay, we're going to do a niche. But then, you know what? We realized that everything is intertwined. Like I was telling you earlier, you know, we were focusing on mental health. We're focusing on physical health, because when your mental health isn't right, people don't realize 70% of illnesses are caused by stress. So when you think about that, you're just like, you know, you really have to have a good mindset, you know. And people go through in life, everyone has stress. Everyone goes through things. And we have a lot of people in this society that suffer from mental illness. We have to show respect for them. They should not be feel like they're stigmatized or labelized, because a lot of them keep quiet because of the stigmatism out there. There's nothing wrong with having a mental illness. So I have people come on and talk about these mental illnesses and talk about, some of them are people who've gone through it and now they have great tools and techniques. I have doctors that come on, I have coaches that come on, and they share how to cope with mental illness. We talk about mindset, we talk about all these other strategies and books that they've written that help people step by step on how to get through it. And then physical health, we have a lot of people with fitness, and you know, we live in a society that a lot of people are obese, and it's affecting, you know, we also have this stigmatism that we give out, you know, big is beautiful. Well, what is it doing to your body? Let's think about that. You know, I'm not looking at someone from the outside. I'm thinking about the health in the inside. So, you know, a lot of these, you know, people, as they get obese, they can't walk well, you know, their ankles and the feet start hurting, diabetes, you know, diabetes kills your whole body from top to bottom. It's away. You know, you got heart problems, stroke. You know, I knew someone just recently just had a heart attack. I knew someone that every day brought a big gulp to their job. And even when they were starting to get little signs, I'm like, you know, trying to say in a nice way, maybe you should think about changing up your diet. Didn't listen. So she got one stroke, a minor stroke, then she got another stroke, and then she got another stroke. Now half her body's paralyzed. So, you know what, you got to think about how we eat and how, you know, the things we do, how it's affecting our bodies. So I have people related to the health industry come on, talk about, you know, I had a doctor from Harvard, you know, he came on and he talked about diabetes, and he talked about just a couple of steps you could do to get your diabetes back to normal, you know. And so those are the type of things. I have people who are spiritualists that come on. They talk about mindset. They talk about, you know, different spiritual things. You know, some people are religious. Some people are just very spiritual, and they go into the, you know, looking inside yourself and how to make yourself a better person. And then we have business too.
So how can you or even can you help somebody that doesn't even want to be helped? And I ask this just because we kind of smiled when you talked about that, because we have a father that has pretty much every condition that you named, and he really doesn't really want to help himself in a sense, you know. And you know, we try to talk to him about it, but you know, it's on deaf ear, you know. And so yeah. I'm just curious on your thoughts on how do you help somebody that really isn't wanting help.
Been hungry for some college football? Well, we finally get a taste this weekend. Don't miss any of the action. Jump in at DraftKings Sportsbook. It's a small but mighty slate of games for week zero, including a big matchup in Ireland. This is going to be DraftKings' biggest college football season to date. Plus, all newbies getting into the college spirit, here's something extra special. New DraftKings customers bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Score big with DraftKings all college football season long. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code iHeart. That's promo code iHeart for new customers to get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call the Virginia Problem Gambling Helpline at 888-532-3500. 21 and over. Virginia only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms at dkng.co/ftball.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You know, I had a couple of close friends. I had one specific close friend that I, you know, I knew I could see the beauty in her. And she just needed a little help, you know. And what I've learned in life and what I've learned in helping people is that we can bring a horse to water, but we can't make it drink it. And unfortunately, if the person doesn't want to be helped, they're not gonna help themselves. You know, it's just like, you know, an addict. He has to fall rock bottom. He has to hit rock bottom and he has to want to get up. You know, there are addicts that hit rock bottom and sometimes they don't get up, you know, but it's their choice. You know, unless they are willing to change, that we can't, you know, unfortunately, it's really sad because we love these people. We care about these people. We know that they could get better, but if they're not willing to get better, there is nothing, unfortunately, that we can do. We could put everything in front of them. We can show them how, you know, it's done. But if a person doesn't want to do it, they're just not going to do it, you know. And then giving advice too, I've learned, you know, if someone doesn't ask for advice, unfortunately, giving advice just pushes that person away, you know, and because they just don't want to hear what you have to say. And every time they see you, they know they're going to be lectured. And it's the way we say things too. We can't lecture people. We have to be able to talk to people in a way where it doesn't seem like they're being lectured. They have to be the ones to express how they feel on the inside. You have to let them do the talking and let them dig inside themselves. But the question is, are they willing to dig inside themselves? And they willing to find the problem themselves? And are they willing to fix the problem? Because it's all about them. We can't do anything, but they can do a lot. It's the choice of them going inside themselves, figuring out what the problem is, what's the root cause, you know, and then making changes to better themselves and to put themselves on the right track so they can get better, you know. But until then, unfortunately, we're powerless. And that's a hard thing, man. It's a hard thing to see someone you love just, you know, doing the wrong things and going downhill. But unfortunately, if they're not willing, you know, we can't force them.
It's true.
Yeah.
So obviously we deal with, or well, a lot of our target audiences is businesses, business owners and whatnot. What kind of advice can you give to them? Because obviously owning a business, as you know, is very stressful. And you had mentioned stress and how it is related to 70% of illnesses and whatnot. What advice can you give to business owners, obviously, especially in this climate that we're in right now?
Yeah, we have a lot of people also to come on our site that are entrepreneurs, that are people who have made it big, and they have really great advice also. But to get back to your question, you know, people in our society are impatient. You know, unfortunately, when COVID came, it changed everybody's lives. You know, everything changed. The way we market, the way we buy, everything we do is done differently. AI came into the picture. Everything has changed, you know. And so we have to, when you're creating a business, it depends where you are in the business. But when you're in a business, you have to be patient. You know, people want things done 1, 2, 3. And it doesn't happen like that. It's first you have to build a platform. Then you have to really build a trajectory and really see, you know, what are my goals? What do I want to do? Where do I want to be in the next 3 months? Where do I want to be in the next 6 months? Where do I want to be in the next 9 months? You know, and think about, you know, what industry am I in? And, you know, because sometimes people are all over the board. You know, they're not really sure. They're focusing on 10, 12 different things. And you really should try to build a tree. And then eventually you could branch off, you know, to related things. But until that tree starts growing, you know, you really should focus on one specific area and build that area. And you have to realize, you know, you have to look at your audience too, you know, and if you don't have the right audience, you're not going to be making sales. I can't tell you how many people, why am I not selling anything? Well, analyze your audience. You know, what do these people like? You might have the wrong audience and you might have to work on finding that right audience. You know, that's a big problem, you know. And then also people, you know, they create these great businesses, but then they don't market properly. You know, there are tons of lead magnets out there. There's tons of things you could do. You have to go out there and approach these people. You know, a lot of people think people are going to come to them. It doesn't work like that, you know.
Right.
You know, it's, you know, you have to really, you know, if you have a product or a service and you have a great idea and you have a, you know, everything is set up, you know, the way it should be, then you have to really get out there and put yourself out there. Connections are key. You know, you have to let people know, hey, I got this product or service and I think it could be great for you. I think it could help you do X, Y, and Z and blah, 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 blah. And you can't be shy about, you know, approaching people and asking people to look at your product and look at your service. And you can't be shy about, you know, there are also people that are shy about asking money. You know, if you have a great product and you spend all these hours creating this product or service, or you're putting all these hours into this service that you're providing for a consumer, some people are shy and they don't know how to properly scale their product, you know, so they're underscaling themselves because they're feeling of self-worth. You know, you have to realize, you know, so many people don't realize that they're worth a lot more than they give themselves credit. So if you're spending 12 hours, you know, on this one client, you know, you're not going to charge them $35. You know, there are people out there that, you know, create these great products and services, but they underscale themselves. You have to go out there, look what your competitors are doing. How much are they selling it for? You know, what can you do and what's feasible for you that you could actually make a profit? And maybe you could say, okay, I could do it for this. You know, we're charging less, but, you know, or we're charging this amount, but you're getting X plus bonus X, Y, and Z. You know, you have to look at strategy. You know, strategy is key too. You have to look at the way you're presenting yourself, and you have to, you know, and the way you present yourself is really important too, because people go out there, they have the trust factor is so important. You know, you have to believe in yourself. You believe in yourself and you believe, you know, and that you could help a person and you're sincere about it, that person will pick it up, you know. But if you go out there and, you know, there are so many con artists out there and there are so many people out there that just don't know how to present themselves to, you know, you go out there and say, you know, I have this great product and, you know, really can help you. And I really want you to try it. You know, the guy's going to look at you or the girl's going to look at you and like, huh? You know,
right.
Or if they look like a scammer, they act like a scammer, they're not looking you in the eye, you know, you got to be careful. And then the sad thing is that people have been burned so much. People are afraid when they finally meet that great person and that sincere person that can really help them and they want to help them. Sometimes they're hesitant, you know, because they've been burned in the past by other people. You got to gain trust. You got to learn how to communicate with that person. You have to learn how to really bond with that person and show that person what you're about. And you know, you have to learn how to communicate well with people too.
Yeah. I think business is all about building relationships. I think unfortunately there's a lot of scams out there. And so building that relationship is key.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would say, you know, if you're doing something, instead of giving 100%, give 300%, you know, show that person that, you know, that you want to help them, you know, show that person that you're willing to go the extra length for them, because it's not just about selling one product. You want to keep them as a client, you know, an ongoing client, you know, you want to keep them with you for a while. You know, you don't want to keep hunting for new clients. You want to develop relationships with clients that you could have reoccurring, you know, business with, you know, and that's key too.
Absolutely. I think the statistic says it costs more to get a new client than retain your current client. And I think that's absolutely important.
Which is weird that some businesses mm-hmm. treat current clients like crap, but give better deals to new clients. It's
exactly
strange. It's a strange concept to me. But what are some practical ways that a business owner can do outside of obviously their own company to help try to reduce some of that stress?
You mean with other client, with people that they meet on the outside?
No, just like help reduce their own stress level from their own personal side.
Like for me, I offer coaching. Like I'll go into there, I'll offer them, like if they buy a certain package, I'll offer free coaching and I'll give them free coaching for X amount of time. Then I'll go into their stuff and I'll analyze their stuff. I'll look at what they're doing and what they're not doing. And then I'll give them some great ideas. I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't think about that. And you see them grab a notebook and they start writing down stuff. And I'm like, you know, in order to build your business, you have to start doing this and you have to start doing this and you should be doing this. And, you know, I looked at your website. It's a great website. But, you know, I think if you do X, Y, and Z, you'll get their attention better, because most people, when they go on a website, they only look at the first quarter, you know, unless something really grabs their attention and they'll hit the button and maybe go to the second page. Right. Most people go to the first quarter of the website. And if they like it, they stay. If they don't, they pop out, you know? So you really have to learn how to make things easy for people too. Like I go on websites and the person is amazing. The person has a great idea, great product, great service, but you go on their website and it looks like they just wrote a documentary and it's like, whoa, you know, like people today, attention, you know, you need to say a couple of words, you know, show a couple of pictures and get to the point, you know, and always have a call to action, you know, and, you know, people have to learn how to make things easier, because we are now, you know, we used to be at an eighth grade level, you know, when it came to reading and writing, you know, where right. We just popped down to a sixth grade level in the United States. So most people read on a sixth grade level. So when you think about that, it doesn't matter how smart you are or how well you write. Think about the level of society, you know, and what they're going to comprehend and gear it to that, you know, and be able to, you know, and then when you speak to people, you know, you just communicate on their level, you know, once you get to know the person, then you can, you know, connect and you can speak on their level. But when you're presenting and you're showing and you're helping people, you know, you have to just like look at their stuff and not criticize them, but give them ideas, you know, and it's right. All the way you word things too. You have to really know how to talk to people. You know, there's all different types of people. Like they say the type A, the type B, you know, you have to learn how to, you know, deal with each personality, because each personality is going to react differently.
Sure. What advice would you give to business owners on if they're reluctant on hiring a coach like yourself?
I think, honestly, I think everyone should have a coach. Like I'll give you an example. When I got to a point in my life where I kept building my business and I felt like I was stuck, I wasn't growing the way I wanted to grow. And so I went out and I found this guy was doing a podcast and he had graduated from a speaking school that I had graduated from, because I wanted to tweet, even though I spoke in front of Congress and I spoke, you know, did speaking. I wanted to really improve my speaking skills. I wanted to make them better. He graduated from the same school with the same idea, but he went into the coaching industry instead of going into the speaking industry. And he coached Fortune 500 companies. But there was something about him that I just liked. You know, there's something kept saying, call him Stacy. So I said, you know what? Screw it. I looked up his number. I called him. I said, you don't know me, but I just saw your podcast and there's something about you I really like. And I think you can help me. Maybe you could just, you know, gear me on the right track, you know? And we ended up talking for over an hour and he ended up being my coach. And within 4 months, he had 10X me, you know, from where I was at, you know. It's really important to have a coach, because a coach sees out of the box. We only see, you know, we see things, but we do things a specific way and we get used to those things. But right. Society is changing. We have to constantly change. We have to constantly understand our consumers. We have to kind of grow, you know, okay, we're doing X, Y, and Z now. What else could we offer our consumers? How can we make their life easier? How can we make their life better? We have to keep changing things up. And even in marketing, you know, I know people that have businesses, they're marketing like they're still in the 90s, you know, that doesn't work anymore. You know, it's great to have a coach, because my coach will, you know, he's still my coach, and, you know, he will stop me if I'm doing something wrong. He will, every day he checks in on me. He's like, all right, what are you doing today? You know, and I'll tell him my goals for the day, and I'll tell him what I'm doing. And if he doesn't like it, he's like, I don't think you should do that. I think you should really consider doing this. He won't tell me what to do, but he'll kind of gear me in that direction. And, you know, all those years of that direction has made me grow substantially, you know? So I think everybody should have a coach. And I think sometimes it's good to have more than one coach, you know, depending on the areas that you need. Coaches are key. I really think they are. They really help you, and they really make you see things in a different light.
What? How often do you think a business owner should evaluate their business and, you know, look at changing, you know, up what they're doing?
I think every month you should look at what you're doing, and then look at what you did previously, and then think about, okay, am I making the same amount of money that I made last month? Am I making less? You know, why am I not growing? You know, what can I do to grow? And then focus on creating a plan. And all right, you know, because you want to keep growing and growing and growing. You don't want to stay plateaued. So you really have to always evaluate. I evaluate. Okay, I made this much money this week. I made this much money that week. But yet, you know, I went on vacation, or I wasn't able to work this day because of X, Y, and Z. So you have to really understand, you know, exactly what's going on 24/7. But at the end of the month, you should always look at how much you made that month, how much you made previously, and what are your goals for next month. And if you're doing the same thing, you can do the same thing and see. And if you're still making the same amount of money, all right, I need to change it up, because I want to really grow. So what can I do to grow? What can I do to help myself? And then you think of ways, and you work. You know, for me, I work with a coach. All right, what can we do to help myself grow? You know, and then we look at all my strengths, and we look at my consumers, and we look at what my consumers' needs are, because they talk to you. You know, after a while of working with clients, you should be able to have a conversation. You know, they're not your friends, but you should be able to have an intimate conversation, that you know them well enough that you know what their needs are, and then focus on what the majority of your clients need. And if you don't have that provided, create it, you know, and we all need help. You know, I have a team now of people who work with me. I could not be where I am if I didn't have a team. But it took a while until I worked with him, and I was able to 10X. I had, you know, some people helping me, but I wasn't able to afford to have as many people as I have today. You know, so it's a process, you know, and it's really, you have to really create, you have to be organized and well tasked. And if you're not, go get yourself a management coach and let them teach you how to prioritize and how to manage things, so you can become like that. Because a successful business is very organized and task oriented.
Now, do you think also with having a conversation with your coach, also having a conversation with, say, your bookkeeper or your accountant to understand like where the money is going or what your money is doing. I think sometimes a lot of people fail to really understand what their money is really doing.
Oh, 100%. And some people don't realize what they're spending it on. You know, things you could spend things, and you can spend X amount of money each month. You're not realizing, oh my gosh, that at the end of the year, that's causing me X, Y, and Z. You know, it's causing me this amount of money, and I don't even really need that. You know, I just wasted $1,200 this year. You should have a bookkeeper. You should have someone that you talk to and helps you handle your books. You know, it's important. It's very important to have, you know, someone in the financial area to take care of your books and to help you, because you can't do everything. You know, it's just impossible. If you're going to have a successful business, you cannot do everything. It's just, you got 24 hours in a day, and that's what their job is. They're a numbers person. You know, I'm not a numbers person. I never liked numbers. I tried it in college. I stood in accounting for a little bit, and then I was out. I said, all right, this is not for me. I'm switching majors. You know, I was just, some people, you're very good with it. You find a good bookkeeper that really handles everything and lets you know what's going on. And then, you know, from there, okay, I don't need this, but I could use this, and I'm making extra money. So now I could afford doing this, and that's going to make my life easier, and I can grow because of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think having somebody that's good with numbers is absolutely important. We're both numbers people, so we agree.
Yeah, I love numbers.
Yeah. Most guys do. I noticed that a lot of guys are.
Yeah, it's, I don't know why. I just always have and always will, I guess. So, so obviously, when we're on the topic of coaching, no two coaches are alike. Just like no client is alike.
Right.
What kind of questions would you recommend if somebody's searching for a coach to make sure that they're getting the right coach? Because obviously, if you hire the wrong coach, they're going to take you in a different direction than hiring the correct coach. So what kind of questions should people be asking when they go to get a coach?
I think you need to really talk with the person, see if your personalities click, first of all. Okay. Then look at the, you know, start to ask the person, you know, what's your vision? You know, what are you looking to achieve? You know, what are the challenges that are, you know, holding you back from achieving what you want to achieve? You know, and then, you know, I have questions actually that I ask my clients, you know, and so I ask them, you know, so tell me a little about your vision, you know, tell me, you know, what you want to achieve. What do you want to achieve in your personal life? What do you want to achieve in your work life? You know, because the real goal is to have a successful business where you work less and make more. You know, so what are your goals? Do you want to spend more time with your kids and be able to have a business where money is coming in and you don't have to constantly be there and you know, constantly work like a dog? You know, where do you see yourself like in the next couple of months? You know, where do you see yourself, like I said, in 6 months, in 12 months, you know, and get a feel for what that person really wants from their life, you know? And, you know, and then, you know, and when you're talking to the person, you'll see if your personalities connect, you know, because sometimes people's personalities don't connect, you know, and they're just not the right person. And then as a coach, you want to be able to have a person that is, you know, that is willing to make the effort. Because you could give the greatest advice, but if they're not going to follow what you're giving them, they're not going to be successful. So you have to make sure as a coach, on the coach's side, that this person is serious, you know, and because your goal is to help this person, right, you know, and you really want a person that's going to be responsible. And when you say, you know, call me at 9:45 and let's go over this, you want them to call you at 9:45 and you want to make sure. And that person has to be serious about wanting to achieve their goals, you know, and they have to feel confident that that coach is going to give them what they need. And by speaking with that coach and by speaking, you'll see if they're knowledgeable or not, you know, just by the way they talk, by the way the questions they ask. And then, you know, asking them, what would this mean to you if you were able to, you know, be able to work less and make more and be able to, you know, get rid of those challenges in your life and overcome those obstacles that are holding you back in your business, you know, how much would that mean to you? And they're like, oh my God, that would mean everything to me. Well, you can see how motivated they are. They're ready to go. They're ready to rock, you know? And so that's the kind of clients you want. And you want to have that rapport. You want to help them and they want to help themselves. And that's the key, is that those are the type of clients that, you know, coaches want. And you as a person have to be serious about it, you know, because if you're not serious about it, then you're just throwing away wasted money.
Sure. Sure. Well, Stacy, this time has come up quick. It's been fun talking to you, honestly. Like, you got a good perspective, and I like it, so I appreciate it. Great. Obviously, we live in a world where there's not a lot of positivity in life anymore, it seems like. Can you end us on something positive that encouraging to our viewers? Great.
Well, I believe that there is, you know, in life, you know, we make life. You know, you have to really, like I said earlier, in life, positivity is key. You will not succeed if you don't look at the positive things in life and you're not positive. And I say, look at the people around you, first of all. Do you have negative people around you, or do you have positive people around you? And if you have negative people around you, well, they're just sucking the energy, all that good energy out of you. It's time to really evaluate the people around you. And you know what? If you have good friends, but they're negative, doesn't mean that you have to alienate them, but keep your distance. Okay. Start bringing in those positive energies, those positive people, and you feed off of each other. And, you know, when you look at life, there's good in everybody. There is positivity is key. And in your life, we all have, you know, the magic key is faith, courage, wisdom, strength, and hope. And for everything that happens into your life, take a moment to look at, okay, this happened, but what positive thing happened from it? Did it make me stronger? Did it make me look at life in a different perspective? Do I have more empathy now? And, you know, learn from it. Use it as an experience. Don't look at it. Don't be a pity party person where, oh, poor me. You know, take it, learn from it, grow, move on. You know, and that's what it's all about. It's about living a happy, healthy, productive life. And the only way to live a happy, healthy, productive life is to be positive. In life, everyone goes through their ups and downs, but we have to rise above the chaos. We have to overcome, and we have to turn our dream into a reality. And that's what life is about.
It's awesome.
Love it. Absolutely. So I have two websites, StacyChalimi.com and then CoachStacyChalimi.com. Yes. Are those the two primary websites just to get in contact with you?
Yes, those are the two primary websites, and I'm all over the internet, and I'm on all the social media, so you can easily just type my name and find me everywhere.
Okay, because what we're going to do is when the video comes up later today, and then we got it on all the podcast platforms as well, we're going to hyperlink your two links so that make it easy for everybody to click with you.
And then just
so that we can, you know, further help advertise you, what's the name of your podcast?
The podcast is The Advisor with Stacy Chalimi.
Perfect. Perfect. So go give her a subscribe over there too. I'm assuming you're on all podcast channels as well.
Yes, I'm on all of them.
I figured. So mm-hmm. That way we can help support you as well. And we will go and subscribe as well. So Stacy, we wish you nothing but the best, and yes, especially with your health journey as well. Yes. Hopefully that continues strong and you stay seizure free.
Thank you.
And if there's anything else we can do for you in the meantime, please let us know. We definitely would love to help you out.
Thank you for being on.
Oh, thank you for having me. You guys are wonderful. I really enjoyed this time with you guys. Absolutely. You're great.
All right. And you have a wonderful day now.
You too.
Welcome to the Business After Hours, where the ties loosen, the suit relax, and we talk business without the boardroom. Grab your favorite drink, kick back, and let's dive into the world of business.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
What if you could have a career where the opportunities are as vast as our nation, where it's not about mission statements, but a shared mission? At U.S. Customs and Border Protection, we go beyond to protect more than borders. From ship to shore, air to ground, cities to local communities, CBP agents and officers are keeping people safe. Join U.S. Customs and Border Protection and go beyond for something far greater than yourself. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.